I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bringing my girl Rita, the NFL chick, talk some football. Actually, we're going to talk some more important stuff here. There's a lot going on in the world, Rita, if you hadn't seen yet.
Hey, good
what's
evening.
Up?
Yes, it's a heavy time, but I would like to thank the Nolan that played. Can I kick
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Thank you, Noel. That's, you know how I feel about Tribe, so yep. that made me smile just now.
we're in the same boat with that. I was waiting to see if we were taking a walk on the wild side or what was happening there in the beginning. I said, I think it's Tribe. It's got to be Tribe. So,
yeah, that was definitely Tribe. I know a Tribe song. Yeah. That was definitely Can I Kick It.
Hey, Rita, so, you know, I know, look, you have your social media platform. You have your podcast. You know, having a platform like this, I mean, there's a lot of things that can be said. Myself, I know who I am. I don't need this. I feel like when everybody's trying to tell you what they're about and who they are as a white man, sometimes it comes across the wrong way or can be perceived the wrong way. But seeing what we're seeing now in society, I mean, there's just so much craziness going on. And I think the main thing that's being said is just please listen and understand, right?
Yes. You would think that something with that could be conveyed easily. But we're learning that people just want us to continue to sweep dirt under the rug, and the rug has gotten way past the point of full. It's been needing to be, you know, taken out a long time ago, and so now we're at the point. And so because of that, you see all of the unrest. You see the uprising. You see, unfortunately, looting and things of such. Because we've tried different ways, right? We tried the Cap way, where he talked to a Marine and said the best way to protest is to take a knee. Well, you didn't like that. You saw other people protest happening before. You didn't like that. And it appears that the only way that people tend to get some type of action or reaction is when people make other people uncomfortable. That has been essentially every history lesson that we've learned in school, that uprising things is what gets things done. It is not something that you would like to happen, but unfortunately, sometimes messages get unheard, and the only way you can do that is to cause some chaos and cause some uncomfortable situations. So that's how we're here now. Hopefully what will happen is when things start to die down, people will listen. If they want to listen, because my thing is that you either want to listen or you don't, and you can't make people listen. But those that maybe want to understand what's going on or feel intrigued about what's happening will listen. And hopefully if you can change one person or get a person to understand, that's part of the process.
Well, that's the
only thing we can hope for at this point.
Yeah, and then, Rob and I talked about this last night, and I said, look, you know, I'm a little torn when it comes to topics like this because, you know, we do talk sports radio, and I think there are people that want to get away from not only politics on a day-to-day basis, especially now, but that also want to get away from some of the negativity that, you know, the media can be spewing. I mean, the more negative media that's out there, you know, that's the rating stuff. That's the thing that most people want to watch. So people that want to get away want to hear something different, and but this is just something that it's extremely difficult, and it does cross over into the sports world. You've seen athletes out marching, Steven Jackson with George Floyd's daughter on his shoulders, and I mean, he was a friend of the family. And then, of course, you know, I saw Deshaun Watson today. And then, of course, the other thing that happens is where I don't care how you feel about the whole flag thing. Like, I'm not going to – nobody's changing their mind. I've had arguments with people about it plenty of times. But then Drew Brees says what he says today. And the odd thing was, for the first time, I saw his teammates, including Malcolm Jenkins, who was a teammate, wasn't, now is a teammate again, told him to shut the F up.
Yeah, and, you know, allegedly he claims he did that before the Drew Brees video came about. Who knows? But guess mm-hmm. what? It applies. My thing is that Drew Brees went on a show, or he had a question presented to him that he knew how he felt about that answer. And he can feel however he likes. The problem is that he ranted about his grandfather being in World War II. And so my thing is that he could have easily said, well, I'm not going to stop standing for the anthem. That is, I believe in standing for the anthem, but I want to listen to my teammates. I want to understand what they're going through, and hopefully we can have some type of, you know, understanding. That would have been a nice little correct answer. Instead, he went on some minute rant about his grandfather being in World War II. My grandfather was in World War II as well, Jeremy. And when my grandfather came home, he came home to racism. Nothing changed when he came home. My grandfather would have been completely okay with what Cap is doing simply because Cap is trying to bring awareness to what is going on in our country. So, okay, fine. Your grandfather was in World War II, and so was mine. And so that's the part that I'm just so flabbergasted with this whole anthem thing. It's amazing that we continue to even have this conversation, considering we know the basis of which the anthem was created. That's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
And we might need to just do that another day. But that part, is, I think, is the most amazing part of this whole thing. It's like the source here.
Well, part of
we ain't even talking about the source.
Part of the you know, commentary that Rob and I had last night, and I said this, I said there's I actually had a conversation with my own father when he stopped up here, and we were talking about, I mean, different things. And one of the points of, you know, my contention that when I get in arguments with people and they're like, well, that's how I was raised, and I always go, because that's how you're raised doesn't make it right. I mean, there are plenty of things that I was taught that I don't agree with. Like,
yep.
You know, it's just and my problem is I know my kids were taught the right way and how to treat people, and they get tired of me telling them, you know, I don't care who you love, I don't care, you know, what you want to be, you know, aspire. Like, you can always talk to dad. I don't ever want them to feel isolated or where they can't come to me with something. I don't care what it is. Like, and maybe I'm a little bit more open-minded than most. Maybe there's people in their car going, you're an idiot. That's fine. but I just don't feel like things are going to change until either we as adults change and teach our kids the right way. And that's the sad part about all this, is that I've had plenty of conversations and I don't mind talking. I don't consider myself a Republican or a Democrat, to get political for a second. But I don't mind talking to people about any type of topic. But the problem I have with politics or anything that stems with religion or anything like that, you're not changing anyone else's mind. It's already like entrenched in them. And that's the hard part. Like, it wasn't, I don't feel like it was that way, I don't know, 20, 25 years ago. Like, you know, when you're watching it now, like, it's insane to me to see this, that we just can't sit down and have an honest conversation without people getting butthurt.
Yes, and that's probably why we may see some progress, but we'll never see, like, major progress, because people are set in their ways and they are unwilling to change. And so you can't change those people. The only way you can do that is to start having dialogues with young people. Start getting young people involved. The one thing that I really have been so blessed to see through this whole situation is the fact that you have young people out here protesting. You have young people in the streets, you know, even trying to be on front lines, creating their own protests. And, you know, they're doing what they can. They're doing their part. And I think social media has a lot to do with that. When you and I grew up, Jeremy, we didn't have access to a lot of what was going on. A lot of things were sheltered. Of course, we knew about what happened with Rodney King, right? That did become a whole thing. But we didn't know about the young lady just weeks before that got shot in Atlanta. In California. That kind of started the whole fizz in L.A. before the Rodney King situation. A lot of that stuff was regional. And so we're seeing now that we have so much access to information, and these young kids are seeing what's going on, and they don't like it. And so as much as I get on Gen Z, because my son is a Gen Zer and he gets on my nerves, and I'm like, I'm on some get off my lawn stuff right now. The one thing I love seeing right now is that these young people don't like what's going on. And I'm hopeful that they can begin to create the change, because they have the visibility. They see these things on a regular basis because of social media. And so it allows them to not only create dialogue, but to try to say, I don't like this. What can we do to make change? And so I'm proud of them in that regard. It's been good to see young kids wanting to step up and say, we don't like this, and we want to be a part of change.
Yeah. One other thing on this before I switch gears on you. The other part about all of this that, and I've said this time and time again, I hate the what about. So if we're going to focus on something, why can't we talk about that topic without going, what about this or what about that? And I feel like that's a lot of it. Because, when you look at George Floyd being murdered, how many people out there realistically think that wasn't a guy being murdered? That's where we should be just talking about it. But it also turns in and stems into all this other stuff that it really doesn't have to be.
Right. And that's just because people like to change the narrative. People want to deflect because it takes away the real issue at hand. Nobody wants to talk about that, but they want to talk about the looting and everything. And look, I get it. I get that is not something that you're okay with. A lot of people will agree that that's not okay. But there's a cause and effect. Things have causes and effects. And unfortunately, when people have an uprising, when people have protests, sometimes looting comes from that. We don't do these things. People are not doing these things just for fun. People are not doing these things in terms, and just starting these protests and starting these uprisings because, it's Tuesday. I'm bored. Let's start an uprising. It's for a reason. And it's not just George Floyd. It's the Breonnas of the world. It's, the Freddie Grays of the world. It's, you can go back to Trayvon Martins of the world. There's a lot of unrest because people have personally had situations with the police that have not been good. And so a lot of those people are still living. A lot of those people can contest to you that they experienced racism in the police department. So it's not just the people that died. There's a lot of people that have experienced what was happening, and they're still alive to tell their stories, but people are tired. And that's the part that I'm like, why are we missing that part? Why is that the part that's missing? So, yeah.
Well, so, all right, I say I never talk politics, but I got to bring up one thing with you. How the hell is Sheila Dixon winning right now? Like, what the?
Oh, my God. Listen. I do not understand. Look, people, if you want change, you have to start fresh. Change, going back to old things that didn't work is not change, people. Stop going to people just because you recognize a name. Like, the lady was indicted. I did not vote for Sheila Dixon. I did not vote for her. And I had no intention on voting for her. And I just can't understand why we can't move forward. And that's my part. It's like, with change, guys, comes creating new spaces for people that are fresh and that have fresh ideals. We've been there and done that with Sheila Dixon. Why are we going back to that? And first of all, hold up. How about this? If she was indicted, why is she allowed to run for mayor again? So she did that under the mayor? I want to know that much.
I mean, she was brought up on three counts, and then the witness failed to show and whatever happened there. And then so she pled not guilty, but was found guilty of a misdemeanor of $600 in gift cards. I mean, there's plenty more there, but
it is. And I just don't understand how you're even allowed to go back into a position of power that you took advantage of. It doesn't make a ton of sense to me. And it doesn't make sense to me why people would like that either. And so, I'm hoping there's a lot of uncounted ballots. We know that right now the Board of Elections has really screwed this up. So really, we have no idea how this is going to go. But I'm really hoping for a miracle at this point, because Brandon Scott isn't too far behind it from last that I saw. So we'll see. We'll see what happens when they start getting some more of these votes that were unaccounted for.
I was just trying to see when my girl Holly, Catherine Pugh, is getting out, to when she can run again.
Let's see if we get some more healthy votes Holly. For her. Do you have a healthy Holly book?
No, no. Oh, man. Hey, we were talking to Rita, the NFL chick. And again, look, there are so many different opinions on what's going on in the world, but I think we all should be able to look at things and see what's right and what's wrong and at least listen to somebody else. And at the end of it, if you're not going to agree and you're going to open your mind, open your heart and listen to somebody, then so be it. But if you're, you know, it's, I don't know. This is some of those things that are really uncomfortable for people to talk about. And I think people talk behind closed doors and say what they feel. And yep. Some of them are afraid to come forward and say it. But real quick, football-wise, a couple of things, not Drew Brees. Pro Football Focus put out their top 50 players, and they had Lamar at 8. And, they have their grading system, which it's kind of crazy. Aaron Donald was number one. Pat Mahomes, Julio Jones, Quentin Nelson, George Kittle, Michael Thomas, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, 3 Ravens in the top 50 at 36, Calais Campbell, 48, Ronnie Stanley. I know they have their own system of grading it. It still kind of stinks to me. I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, PFF is a good tool. I mean, they're a good tool to grade some things. But overall, they're not my NFL Bible. It's a good reference point. Because they do break down the game better than most. Mm-hmm. But like you said, they're great. And don't get me wrong, because I think Aaron Donald is phenomenal. I definitely think he's an animal. I definitely think lots of times what happens is we overlook defensive linemen, offensive linemen, because they're not the sexy look. So I don't really have an issue with Aaron Donald being their top player, because I think that Aaron Donald is a phenomenal player. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I guess you can look at that as progress, because probably a year ago, I don't even know if Lamar is in their top 50 at all. So, you know, again, that might end all be all, but I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it. I'm cool with Lamar being a top graded player, because he absolutely deserved that.
Yeah, no, you know, we talk a lot of football, but, you know, the other thing that's out there is we're all waiting for baseball to get back. I mean, baseball kind of has
– I mean, is it coming back? The owners said, nah, we ain't accepting that deal y'all gave us, and we ain't even going to counter it.
Yeah, they're not going to counter it, but what they're going to do is go by the first agreement they had and just limit the amount of games played.
Okay.
That's what they're talking. So, I mean, this whole thing could fall apart, but the commissioner's got to approve it. And it's funny, I was just saying this, and I don't follow hockey as much, but – the NBA is the only commissioner that, like, I feel like Adam Silver's got a grip on it. I thought David Stern did, you know, like, I don't know why I feel like they get it, and they're very fair about everything. But, you know, with Major League Baseball and getting this done, nobody wants to see billionaires and millionaires fight, and I hate what's happening with the minor league systems and just
me
cutting
too.
Players. You know, like, I say this over and over again, so if you're tired of hearing me say it, I'm sorry. I don't like to tell people how to spend their money, but if you have $1 billion, $1 million is nothing to you to keep your employees fed, you know, keep them, you know, at home and all of them, not just, you're not paying one $1 million, you're taking care of everybody. And
I agree.
And it's good publicity too. It just doesn't make sense to me.
I completely agree. I would love to see somebody do something right by these young men, because they deserve it.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that just looking at the way the sports landscape's going, and look, when baseball comes back, I'm going to be in the air a lot less, but I still want it to happen, you know. We need sports. Sports is,
baseball,
for me, it's been an outlet. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Baseball, basketball, NBA is supposed to be starting back up. Yeah. Congrats to any Wizards fans, I believe, that they were invited.
Yeah, they were invited. And it's a weird playoff format, but look, I'm looking forward to it. It'll happen at the end of July. And the odd thing is, when we talk about the coronavirus and how it's ever going to affect every single thing, the NBA, if there were a Game 7 in the finals, it would end in October 12th, I think is what they had.
Yeah, now, they did. They said that.
Now, if that's the case, that's totally going to change when you're able to start your season from now on. So maybe the NBA is now starting around Christmas or New Year's.
They should have always started around. We don't pay. I don't want to be disrespectful. For the most part, we don't pay attention to the NBA till Christmas anyway, because the NFL has the floor. That's just kind of how it goes. And so I don't think anybody would be against that happening, having that NBA at Christmas. I mean, that's usually when everybody's like, okay, this is the unofficial start of the NBA season anyway. So it'll be fun. To see how that goes. But I am happy. I'm not even a huge basketball fan, but I want it back. I want it back too. So I'm excited to see how this is going to go. And you already know whoever wins the tournament, well, not the tournament, but finals, somebody's going to say that they're going to put an asterisk next to it for somebody you don't like, you know, like LeBron Abel. So.
Yeah. Well, hey, Rita, as always, I appreciate it. I'll be checking back with you. The Gridiron Gals podcast, of course, you can check that out. That's on Apple, right?
Yes, Apple. Yep.
Yeah, you can get that on Apple. And, of course, you can follow her at The NFL Chick. Appreciate it, as always. Have a good week, all right?
Thanks, Jeremy. You too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.